Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, brought to you today by ZipRecruiter. Find the perfect hire. Post your job on all the top job sites, ZipRecruiter.com. And right now, our listeners can get a free opportunity to do that at ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Jim Garrity of National Review is back today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have, I think, good and crazy martinis today, although the middle one is really hard to define. But let's start with the good, and it's good not only with, for the most part, what she's saying, Jim, but who's saying it. With the onset of the Colin Kaepernick sitting and then kneeling controversy, and then all these other copycats around the NFL and other sporting events, Katie Couric of Yahoo sat down with Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And if you had Ruth Bader Ginsburg comments on the NFL in your pool for something to happen this year, well, you win. And here's how the question started.
Justice Ginsburg, how do you feel about San Francisco 49ers player Colin Kaepernick and other NFL players who have basically refused to stand for the national anthem?
What do I think? I think it's really dumb of them. Would I arrest them for doing it? No. I think it's dumb and disrespectful.
She went on to compare it to flag burning, which I know a lot of conservatives certainly won't agree with. But she said basically her thought is that as long as you're not endangering other people's liberties, she doesn't have a problem with it legally. She just thinks it's really, really dumb. And she would tell flag burners the same thing. So then Couric, who apparently couldn't grasp the point that Ginsburg was making, followed up and Ginsburg made it again.
But when it comes to these football players, you may find their actions offensive.
Yes.
But what you're saying is it's within their rights to exercise those actions. Yeah,
if they want to be stupid, there's no law that should be prevent. If they want to be arrogant, there's no law that prevents them from that. What I would do is strongly take issue with the point of view that they are expressing when they do that.
So, Jim, Katie Couric trying to reinforce a point that no conservative is trying to make, that Kaepernick doesn't have the right to say this. And Ginsburg is basically making a point that most conservatives would be absolutely crushed for in the liberal media for saying that these people are stupid, dumb, arrogant, and disrespectful.
One of the things that's been odd about Ruth Bader Ginsburg is she picked up this nickname, the Notorious RBG. And they've kind of been this kind of sort of cutesy online cult around her, or just, you know, this kind of, you know, this idea that this octogenarian Supreme Court justice is this hip, cool, heroic figure who all the millennials love and all that kind of stuff. And I kind of wondered when she comes out against Kaepernick, how would they react, right? Because the left loves Kaepernick and loves the stance he's making and celebrates almost every criticism of America. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg is one of their heroes. Well, if you're wondering, Deadspin.com, kind of the Gawker version of sports, covered this with the headline, Ruth Bader Ginsburg says some dumb S-word about Colin Kaepernick. So they had to take a side, and they chose a side. And some might find it really interesting. Now, I would look at that and say, okay, well, if that's the case, why have you spent all this time building her up as the Notorious RBG and all that kind of stuff? Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a pretty much a standard issue liberal Supreme Court justice who has lifetime employment, who basically is a little more open about her interest in using foreign countries' laws or international law to change the Constitution, who's a little more open about her political views. She basically ripped Trump earlier this year to the point where even the New York Times editorial board had to say, no, you're really not supposed to do that. It's not unthinkable that some issue related to the election could come up before the court. If you're really ripping into him, you know, like this, people, you know, he has a really legitimate gripe that you can't be fair and objective and nonpartisan in your evaluation of any court and any cases that involve him. And she's getting up in years, shall we say. And a lot of people might remember that photo of her head starting to kind of nod down and drip down to the point where she's looking at her lap during one of the State of the Unions. She said she had too much wine that night. No, I don't believe anyone should give her too much grief about that. We've all wanted to do that during the State of the Union some year. Having said that, I really find it interesting that now all of a sudden she says this about Kaepernick and she's one of the villains again. And all of a sudden she's this old doddering woman who nobody can trust anymore. It didn't take much, did it, Greg?
No, not at all. And let's not pretend that Ruth Bader Ginsburg isn't, like you explained before, a dyed-in-the-wool liberal who will probably get every critical case wrong when there's a divided court. Certainly anything with political overtones. So she's pretty much the justice Hillary Clinton described on Sunday night, one who will agree with her politically. But in this case, she's absolutely right, and we should give her credit for it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think what she's observing here is that Ruth Bader Ginsburg at least has the good sense to realize that America's been pretty good to all of us. Even if you are the worst luck, the worst turns of fortune, you feel most injustice by the system, you're going to get a better shot at success and a happy life in the United States of America than almost anywhere else on earth. And I think she has very little time, you know, even if she agrees with some of the specific criticisms Kaepernick might have, he's doing it in a way that's probably the most alienating possible way of communicating his displeasure with the country. And I think she has the ability to grasp that. He doesn't. And I think it's safe to say the editors at Deadspin can't grasp that either.
Amazing. All right, let's move on to the second martini. And while, Jim, it's hard to know whether the WikiLeaks revelations over time will end up impacting the 2016 presidential race in any meaningful way, it's at least going to be kind of fun to watch Democrats squirm along the way. And with the latest batch of released emails and speech excerpts, we're seeing a number of different things. There's Hillary Clinton parroting Barack Obama's line that terrorism and Russia, they're not really any threat to America. Yeah, they can kill our people, but they're not really a threat to the United States. But the two we're going to focus on here today involve Donna Brazile as well as Chelsea Clinton. Let's start with a report from the New York Observer. The latest release reveals current DNC chair Donna Brazile, when working as a DNC vice chair, forwarded to the Clinton campaign a January 2016 email obtained from the Bernie Sanders campaign, released by Sarah Ford, Sanders' deputy national press secretary, announcing a Twitter storm from Sanders' African-American outreach team. FYI, Brazile wrote to the Clinton staff. Thank you for the heads up on this, Donna, replied Clinton campaign spokesperson Adrienne Elrod. So clearly playing favorites there. Jim, this one I think you're going to enjoy even more. Doug Band, whose name has appeared on a lot of these different emails suggesting collusion between the Clinton Foundation and the State Department, has another email out that the Clintons probably won't like very much. This is from the Daily Mail. In a conversation from November 2011, which is when Chelsea Clinton stepped up to play a greater role in the Clinton Foundation, Band goes off about the former first daughter to Podesta, that's John Podesta, the campaign chairman, and Cheryl Mills, Hillary Clinton's chief of staff at the State Department. Quote, she is acting like a spoiled brat kid who has nothing else to do but create issues to justify what she's doing because she, as she has said, hasn't found her way and has a lack of focus in life. And so, Jim, I'm guessing you stood up and applauded Doug Band for saying what you've been saying for a long time about Chelsea Clinton. And, oh, by the way, over at the DNC, you know that chairwoman you just fired for playing favorites in the 2016 campaign? Turns out the replacement's not a lot better.
A couple of things to add about this. One is that if you watched Donna Brazile during the run-up, during the primary fight, nobody should be that surprised that she was pro Hillary Clinton and not that enamored with Bernie Sanders and his supporters. Greg, I'm not saying I've talked about this in the green room with her at CNN, and I'm not saying I have. I'm just going to let that float out there, that you didn't have to scratch too far beneath the surface to get the sense that this was Donna Brazile's perspective, and that she generally was a professional and tried to treat everybody with respect. But if she, you know, had a viewpoint, it was pretty clearly going to be on the side of Hillary. The idea that she was plugged into them isn't the least bit surprising. But if you're a Bernie Sanders supporter and you feel like it didn't, you didn't get a fair shake in the primary, and that the entire primary was run as a coronation for Hillary Clinton, well, now here's more evidence to put that onto the pile. And even though we're watching the Republican Party, you know, look like Appomattox right now, I mean, just this utter, you know, all-out civil war between two different sides. The Democrats aren't that far behind. They had a primary in which, you know, Bernie Sanders was able to make it, and he pulled back his ire at key moments. Was sick of hearing about the emails, you know. if he had really pushed on that, who knows how that primary could have shaken out? Hillary's still having these problems amongst millennials and things like that. The comments about Chelsea Clinton, it just warms my heart. I kind of feel like there's been this endless coverage of her as America's princess, and everyone treats her as if she's this extraordinary young woman who's destined for great things in life. And I think it's just not justified by what she's actually done in her career, whether you want to look at the NBC News stint or other things she's done, being named a provost of NYU at age 30 without a PhD. And so it's kind of nice to see there are at least some people inside the Clinton world who see things the same way I do. But look, I'm sure it'll be another, you know, lots of awkward silences at the next big gathering of the Clintonites.
Probably so. So Clinton Foundation, DNC, it sounds like you're having a hard time finding good people. So are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. And if you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can.
With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to more than 100 job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. You can quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast.
Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. And Jim, we can move on to our crazy martini now. And Glenn Beck's been an interesting character for a long time on radio. Then he's at CNN Headline News. Then he's at Fox. Now he started his own network, The Blaze. And he has been a tortured soul in this presidential campaign, not unlike a lot of Americans. He ultimately ended up endorsing Ted Cruz during the primary. Hasn't really known what to do during the general election, although he did reveal what he is going to do in this interview. But what's making headlines today is this interview with Michael Moynihan of Vice News Tonight. For some reason, they're standing on some windswept mountain here. But Glenn Beck is explaining that he seriously considered voting for Hillary Clinton for president.
I will tell you that it has crossed my mind.
To vote for Trump?
To vote for Hillary. It has crossed my mind. I think Donald Trump is so unstable, so dangerous, that it has crossed my mind. I can't do it because she's just a horse of a different color. You know, she's just as bad, but...
But you've never considered voting for Donald Trump.
No.
So it's not a horse of a different color. It's a different horse.
Yeah, they're both bad. I think under Hillary Clinton, the nation most likely can become just run by oligarchs. I think under Donald Trump, he's so unstable. I wouldn't put anything past him. I don't know what our country looks like.
Ultimately, Beck decided to publicly announce that he is supporting that whirling dervish of raw political charisma, Daryl Castle, the Constitution Party presidential nominee. Jim, interesting here that someone would go from enthusiastically and even campaigning on the stump for Ted Cruz to even thinking about voting for Hillary Clinton. It's certainly a commentary on where the Republican Party is right now, at least with this presidential nomination. But fortunately for people of good conscience on the conservative side, he did not end up supporting Hillary Clinton, because I find it impossible to think that a conservative with good conscience could actually do that.
I think he's a guy who's always worn his heart on his sleeve and always, you know, shared exactly what he was thinking. If his, you know, viewpoint was shifting one way or the other, and if he, you know, suddenly he discovered new information and said, oh, I can't go in that direction, he'd reversely go in the opposite direction. Let's face it, you have to have sympathy for anybody who went into this election cycle, Greg, really loving Ted Cruz, wanting to see Ted Cruz succeed, pulling for Cruz throughout when they were the last two candidates standing, or among the last two, the last three with Kasich, applauding Cruz as he made his bold stance at the convention to say, vote your conscience and not to explicitly support Donald Trump. And then watch Ted Cruz come around and say, well, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump anyway. And then over the last the tape controversy this weekend, there were rumors floating around that Ted Cruz was trying to figure out a way to undo his statement that he's going to vote for Donald Trump, which on the one hand is kind of completely recognizable or understandable in light of the awful things you heard on the tape, and the idea that, no, this is it. This is the straw that breaks the camel's back. I just can't support this guy. The problem is that then he would have been better off just sticking with the position he had at the convention, which he reversed himself. And you have this nagging feeling that if somehow Donald Trump had surged ahead, Ted Cruz would reverse himself all the way. So Glenn Beck watches Ted Cruz flip back and forth and really comes out of this deeply disappointed. I suppose if you see Donald Trump as a likely path to nuclear annihilation and Hillary Clinton as a rule by oligarchy, you probably say, okay, could I live a happy life under oligarchy? What are the upsides of oligarchy that I've been overlooking all this time? I'm glad that Glenn Beck has reached that decision. I think it's pretty clear that Hillary Clinton is not going to get any conservative what they want to see enacted, the kind of changes they want to see. We shouldn't have any illusions about that. I mean, at this point, with the polls looking what they are, she's probably going to be the next president. It does kind of exhibit just to the topsy-turvy kind of year that Glenn Beck can spend the better part of his entire political career denouncing Hillary Clinton. And then, you know, at some point in October say, yeah, maybe she's not so bad. So that's the kind of year it's been, Greg.
I was just going to say, all kind of microcosmed into one day where Ruth Bader Ginsburg is slamming down the Black Lives Matter movement to kneel for the anthem. Glenn Beck's thinking about endorsing Hillary, ultimately does not. And then you've got one of the closest figures in the Clinton Foundation slamming Chelsea as a spoiled brat. Can't predict anything that's going to happen this year.
Indeed.
Wow. Jim, we'll find out what happens tomorrow. Talk to you then.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reminding you that today's podcast is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Join us again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.